Morning. Always, always keeping the main thing the main thing. Thanking God for Jesus. Thanking God for the Holy Spirit. Thanking God for His church. Thanking God for this congregation. Thanking God for the brethren here who gave me another opportunity to come out and say a few words to you. I pray and hope that something said may benefit you in your life. May God bless our ears of hearing, our hearts of receiving, and our wills to obey. This morning, my title is A House Divided Cannot Stand. And it's taken from Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 25. But I would like to read 22 through 28. Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 28. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judge. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. A house divided cannot stand. We see in verse 22, a man is brought to Jesus who is in terrible shape. He can neither speak nor see, which would have made it very difficult for him to communicate. The reason for his condition appears to have been depression by a demon. The people were amazed, but the Pharisees wasn't. The Pharisees heard it. They said that Jesus cast out devils by Beelzebub. Early on in this chapter, we see that the Pharisees saw that Jesus done a miracle by a man had a withered hand, and Jesus restored it. The Pharisees were the type of people who they wanted the glory. And if one came before them, if one came ahead of them, if one was better than them, they couldn't handle it. You know how some of we are now, you know? We just can't handle someone being better than we are. But someone is going to be better. Someone is going to look better. Someone is going to be smarter. Someone is going to be richer. Amen? Than we. But the Pharisees, they were that type of people. They wanted to have the glory. They didn't want nobody to be smarter than them because they were smart people. In other words, they went to college and they took up all these courses and they had these different levels in college, and Jesus, he just came along and just, you know, tried to take their place. But they didn't like that. The people were amazed, but the Pharisees wasn't. What Jesus had done, they said, this is amazing. But the Pharisees heard it, and they said he was a devil. They hated the works of Jesus in verse 14. We learned that they actually wanted to kill Jesus for this. So you know they was jealous of Jesus if they wanted to kill him just because he done something for someone. But they could not deny the work of Jesus because everyone witnesses it. So they tried to submit an alternate theory for how Jesus did the miracles, the miraculous work. They said he only drive out demons by the devil himself. Jesus says to the Pharisees that your sons are casting out demons also. Do they, how do they do it? Are they casting out demons by the demons? They claim to do it by the power of God. Do they do it by Satan? Even Satan don't stand against himself. So Jesus is saying, right, that the devil is not going to stand against himself. So if I cast out demons by the devil, that means the devil is what? Against himself. And Jesus is saying that's not so. Amen? He's saying that's not so. He says, now your children are doing the same thing. Are you blaming them the same way you're blaming me? Amen. You see, the devils don't go against himself. He goes against us who goes against him. And he's always trying to get in where he don't fit in. He wants us to be divided. We sometimes help him divide us. Amen? He wants us divided, but we sometimes actually help him. And then we blame the devil for every wrong that's done in our lives. Amen? We can't blame the devil for everything. Amen? Because it's our choice that we make. You see, even Adam and Eve couldn't blame the devil because the devil didn't hold a gun on them. They was persuaded into doing this. You see, it was a man who came from Nam, and this is what he said. He said that in Vietnam, he said that they were booby traps all over the place, you know. And they say how they would set some of the booby traps, right? They would set a watch or a chain or, you know, something that will draw you. And they said the men would go and pick it up, and they would get blown up because it was a booby trap. You understand this, that the devil has booby traps in the church. Are you with me? In our Christian lives, there's booby traps everywhere. Are you with me? That he wants us to take up and destroy ourselves. Amen? But he don't make us. Are you with me? Just like in Nam, they didn't put a gun on them and made them go and pick these watches and stuff up. They did it because of their choice. They chose to do this thing. Amen? He wants us divided. He wants us divided. And if we're divided, guess what's going to happen? We're going to fall. But we can't blame it everything on the devil. It's our choice. We make the choice to do right or wrong. The devil don't make us do nothing. We make our own choices. In Isaiah 59, verse 2, it says, "But your iniquities have separated you and God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." You see, it's something that we do separate ourselves from God. You see, the Satan, he's going to put it out there for us. Now, if we choose to take it, then we're separated. In James, the first chapter, 13 through 14, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticement." You see, we do these things to ourselves. And we always, as long as you blame somebody else for your fault, you'll never find it. You'll never get it right. If everybody's wrong, if everything wrong that you do is somebody else's fault, you'll never get yourself right. I will never get myself right because I put the blame on somebody else. You see? I'm putting the blame on somebody else. We can't blame the devil when we choose to divide ourselves. Bible teaches of nations against nations. Two nations are not going to get along if they're not together. They're not going to get along. Yeah? We see this today. Kingdom against kingdom. And what we see is church against church. Our choices cause division. Our choices cause segregation. We can cause division or segregation, or we can cause unity and togetherness. That's what we could do. But many choose to divide. Many choose to segregate. Not good. Not good. You see, it's not good. It's all because of who we choose to listen to. Joshua 24:15 says, "And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Amen? You know, wait a minute. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Joshua 24:15, it says, If it seemed evil unto you, serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father serve that were on the other side, or the flood, or the god of the Amorites in whom land you dwell in now. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Amen. And I said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw. This hold that for a second, okay? Just hold on to that for a second. But he said, my house, as for me and my house, will not be divided. I will stay with the Lord. And when we stay with God, we can't lose for whom we choose. Amen? We cannot lose for whom we choose. When you use the expression, a house divided against itself cannot stand, you literally mean that success only comes from sticking together, and to do anything else is to invoke disaster. When we stick together in God, you see, God is the glue that keeps us together. Amen? If God ain't in it, we ain't together. Are you with me? We're just holding on, but we're not glued together. When God stick us together, we see out of one eye. This is how close we are to be in the Lord. We see out of one eye. We hear out of one ear. We hear the same thing. Amen? We teach the same thing. We do the same work. We stick to the same script. We stick to the same plan. We stick to the same command. We stick to the same blueprint. We stick to the same Jesus. Amen? There's no other God but Jesus. You see, we don't have division in that. You know, sometimes this is the Laodicea. They had a problem with that, as we stated before. They had a lukewarm teaching, you know, saying that, you know, it's all right, you know, how we call it 50-50, one foot in and one foot out. Now, that's not good. That's division. God, either you all for God or you're not for God at all. Amen. God wanted all. Amen. He wants all. You see, he don't want 50% or 90%. He wants all of us. Amen. He wants all. And when we do it correctly, we won't lose for whom we choose. In Ephesians 4:3, we come together in the bond of peace. We come together in peace. God has to be in it. We cannot do it without God. Amen. He has to be in it. If God ain't in it, we ain't got nothing going. He has to be in it. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. Too many of us, we want to go our way, our own way. Our way, it just seems sometimes like it's the best thing to do. Are you with me? Because many times we ask Jesus for something and it takes so long to answer. Jesus just takes so long, and then I got to do it because I ain't really got time to wait on you, Jesus. You see? And we go on and mess things up by doing things our own way. We speak the same things. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." No division, no segregation, all for one, one for all. In it together. Together. We can't act like we love, we got to love. Right? We can't act like we want to, we have to do it. Amen? That's just how it is. And this is with Jesus, right? And with Jesus, we won't lose for because we choose Jesus. In Genesis, the second chapter, verse 18, the Lord said, "It is not good for a man to be alone." He's telling us something there. So he made a woman so we could be together. You see? What he made after man created, what he made after he created a man was woman to be together. Amen? He didn't create a woman to be with a woman. He didn't create a man to be with a man. Amen? A man to be with a woman. And that's how he wanted it. And this is what he said. He said, "Let what I have joined together, let not man put asunder." Amen? What he has joined together, and what he joined together, he's supposed to stay together. Because in Malachi it says God don't like divorce. He wants you to stay together. I understand that some are divorced. You know, but you got to recognize one thing, that God is still on the throne. And no matter what has happened, God can make it better. Amen? Whatever has happened. And he want, when we're married, he wants us to stay together. No division. I know, you know, Barbara, just my wife, and I love her. She sees my face all the time, in and out. I got it, you know. You get tired of my face sometimes. Huh? But God says to stick together. Amen? You know, I would tell her, go take a walk. Take a little vacation. Take a walk and miss me a little bit and come back. You know, I got that. You know, the same face, you know, just, oh, you know, But I heard this song saying, stay together. Well, the times are good. Times are bad. Times are happy or sad. Stay together. Amen. God says, in our marriage ceremony, it says, for sickness and health, for rich and for poor, stay together. Stay together, because one thing we have to understand, this life ain't long. And you ain't going to be together for the short while. Are you with me? It ain't forever. Why did I marry you if I knew I was going to be with you all this time? You know. It's not going to be long. Yesterday, you know, some of us, you know, I think about myself yesterday. Just yesterday, it seemed like I was a little boy, you know, climbing trees and shooting marbles, you know, acting like a boy. Are you with me? But now look at me. I can't hardly move now. Are you with me? Because time has gone. You see? Because and it went fast. You know, when we was a kid, we said, "I want to be. I can't wait till I get, you know, I can't wait till I hit a teenager. You know, I can't wait until I get 21. I can't, man, if I can just hit 30, boy, just like the rest of them. They 30, I want to be 32. 40, I want to be 42. 50, and he's kind of slowing down that thinking. He said, "Hold up, now, wait a minute, you know. I didn't know all these aches and pain come with this." Are you with me? You know, I didn't know my eyesight would be going dim. Are you with me? I didn't know this. Jesus, can we slow it down a little bit? No. This is life. And James tells us it's but a vapor. Are you with me? It's but a vapor. We ain't going to be here that long. Just stay together. Just stick it out. Stay together. Stay together. Stick it out. You know? Stay together. But remember, Jesus said, for those who have an ear, let them hear. He's speaking to people who hear. Because some people don't hear this. They can't get it. They won't understand it. That's why Jesus was speaking mostly to the disciples, for us to carry it out to other folks. Are you with me? Because speaking directly to folks, you know, they might not get it. You see? But it's a sticking together that Jesus wants. No division. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for the labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lieth together, then they have heat. But but how can one warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen? God wants us united. Even America got a saying, united we stand, divided we fall. You see? When we come together, like I said, we ought to stick so closely together that we see out of one eye. If you see out of one eye, you see the same thing. If you use one ear, you hear the same thing. Are you with me? If you're going one way, you're going one way, the same way. Are you with me? That's why Jesus used one for a lot of things. You know, one wife, one husband. As stated before, some time ago. If my wife, right, say she's driving me crazy. Are you with me? If I got two wives, guess what's going to happen? Are you with me? So God says one, you know, keep stay one. Just one. Just one. There was a story about a woman who she was a nurse and she was getting ready to work in this asylum. And she was, you know, a person was, you know, taking her through, you know, see different people, you know. So she went to this ward and she saw a person. He was, you know, just walking back and forth, you know, walked to this wall and he turned around and walked back. He turned around and walked back. So she said, what, why is he doing? What happened to him? He said, his wife left her for another man, and he went crazy, right? And he went up a little further. They saw another man, and he was wrapped up in one of those gurney or whatever you call it, straitjacket. And the question was asked. He said, "What happened to him?" He said, "Oh, he's the man who that man's wife left him for." Are you with me? You know, and he's crazier than the first man. You see, so one is one. Let one be one. Are you with me? God knows what he's talking about when he says one. You know, let it be one unity, one, you know, one church, one Lord, one body, one faith, one hope, one. Right? All this is all joined together. It's sticking. It's stuck together by the glue of God. And what God has joined together, it's hard to, you know, God's glue, you have to walk away from God's love. Because God, it ain't nothing that we could do to separate us from God's love. Ain't a thing, excuse me, ain't a wrong in the world that we could do that make God stop loving us. Are you with me? There's nothing that we could do that could make God stop loving us. What happens is when we walk away from God, we do it to ourselves. Amen? As long as we stay in God, we're going to be okay. Are you with me? We're going to be okay. We spoke about the one cord. It says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. This verse speaks about the strength of number and how the bond between two people can become even stronger with God at the center of the relationship. The cord of three strands represents God, it represents the groom, and it represents the bride. Being united with God gives a couple the spiritual strength to cope with problems and achieve happiness all the way. A house divided cannot stand. John 17, in closing, John 17, 21 and 22 says, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. That's what it's about. You know, even like I said, the churches, we are separating. We are segregating ourselves. This one is right, that one ain't right. And the devil, that's what the devil uses. He's going to stop at the church first, because we're the one who causes all the mess. But if he can get the churches segregated, if he can get the churches divided, if we don't do it, who going to do it? Are you with me? If we don't, who going to get the word out if we don't do it? But if we got a segregated heart, if we got a segregated mind, if we're dividing ourselves, we're not going to make it. We're going to fall. Amen? You know, I'm saying this, someone might get mad at me. Oh, shut up, Brother Pastor. What? I got to tell you the truth. At least this is what I read. If you read something else, get with me. Let's go over it, right? But a house divided cannot stand. Coming out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. If you are here and you're not a member of the church, there's some things that you must do. You must hear God's word. You must hear it. You must hear God's word, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived, suffered, and died, and was crucified on a cruel cross, and 3 days later, he woke up with all powers in his hand. Amen? You must hear that. You must believe that. You must. You can't get around it. You can't get around it. You've got to believe that. You must repent. You can't get all of this unless you turn yourself all the way completely around. You got to repent. Then you must confess with your lips, with your mouth, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You must then be baptized in water for remission of sin. You must stay faithful in God's grace. You must come to worship, Bible studies. You must give. You must teach. You must pray. You must, above all, love. Got to be love. Why? Because God is love. Amen. And we gotta follow that. He gave us some directions. Amen. Only one set of directions. You know, it's our choice. It's our choice. If you are here and you are a member of the church and you are in need of prayer, as we together stand and sing the song that was, yes, you may come at this time.